This morning we're going to learn about the Apostle Philip, a new name again this morning we get to learn about, and we get to learn about what Philip was like in his life, and he's kind of a fascinating person, and you'll get to learn about him as well this morning. So I'm going to encourage you to turn in your pew Bible to John chapter 1, verses 43 through 46, is where we're going to start. That's his calling, and then we're going to have a little story about his faith in John chapter 14, verses 6 through 10. And also through the message, we're going to learn about Philip and the feeding of the 5,000 again, and how God tests Philip. He asks him a question. And so you'll get to learn that as well this morning as we go through this message together. So let's begin our reading at John chapter 1, verse 43. Jesus calls Philip and Nathanael. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law, and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. And then turn to chapter 14 with me this morning. Verses 6 through 10. And so, this is a conversation that Jesus gathered his disciples. And you may be familiar with the first part of this verse, as far as "in my Father's house are many rooms" and so on. And Jesus is having a conversation with them. He's trying to tell them that they're going to come and crucify him, and he's going to be led away and so on. And they're not getting it. And so here's what he has this conversation then with Philip. Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said, "Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us." And Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Don't you believe that I am the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." The reading of the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, you've spoke to us in your word this morning through the book of John. Lord, as we learn about Philip today, Lord, we pray that you open our hearts, our minds, and souls to your teaching and your ways. Lord, what I speak today, may it be truth of Scripture. Lord, may these words be your words and never my own. And may you fill me with that same Spirit, Lord. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. One time, when we were living on the farm just west of town, our three boys were very young. And it was during the summer, and the corn was quite tall. And our three boys ventured into the edge of the cornfield. And so they were probably anywhere from one or two on up to 5 years old, Levi, Quinn, and Aaron. They ventured in this little place where the planter quit planting or something, and they were in there just a row or two, and if you looked just right, you could see them quite well. But they sat down, and they began to play inside the field there. And Dory could not find them. And I remember I was still at the elevator in Rockrabbit yet, and she called me, and she said, "I've been all over the yard, and I can't find these boys." And she was getting a little bit worried. Time had passed, and she began to, she was getting worked up about it, and she's praying about it, and she says, "What should we do?" I said, "Just be calm, go back out, and they'll show up somewhere." And eventually they came out of the cornfield, and Dory was so relieved that she found them. And then this is what the boys said to her when they came out. They said afterwards, after she seen them, and she went and found them and hugged them, so make sure they're all right, "Mom, we seen you the whole entire time." And they watched from the distance of the cornfield, but they never came out. But what a relief for them to be found. And so this morning, I want to share a story with you about Philip, the apostle who was found by Jesus. Now, this is the first disciple that was actually pursued by Jesus. We see it in Scripture. And so, just to let you know, also Philip's name, for those of you that like horses, Philip means lover of horses. So I'm assuming that Philip was a guy who probably worked with horses or grew up with horses in his family, whatever that might be, but that's what his name means. So Philip was the leader of the second group of four disciples. Those other ones would have been Nathanael, who he's very close to. You see him paired up quite a bit in Scripture. And then there is Thomas and Matthew. He'd be the leader of the second group of the four disciples. Philip grew up in Bethsaida, probably attended the same synagogue. So to you, it'd be like church as what Peter and Andrew would have been attending as well. So they probably knew each other and often would worship together on Saturdays. Now, Philip's occupation is once again a fisherman. He come from a family that was fishermen. He was a fisherman as well. But his personality is a little bit different than the other ones. He is a process person. He does everything by the book. This is how things are supposed to be. This is how we do them. More than likely, very traditional. He grew up in a culture that kind of was traditional, and he understood how things worked, how things were to be done. That's how he was. He was practical-minded, not a forward-thinking person at all. Sometimes could not grasp the vision that Jesus would lay down for him in Scripture of what things meant and how he spoke. And it was hard for Philip to grasp those things in his life. And often he'd miss that big picture that Jesus was trying to explain to him. But Philip was a man who was found. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." It's evident that Jesus is looking for him. He wanted him specifically. And so we see that through the work of the Holy Spirit, God is still bringing people to him today. He still calls people to follow him. You've gathered here today because you are a follower of Jesus Christ. And so also I want to share with you a few words out of the book of Timothy this morning. 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, they say this. "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth." Philip was sought out by God. Jesus, we need to understand, God our Father is looking for everyone. He wants salvation for everyone, but not everyone will choose him. It's evident in the world that we live in today. Some people will turn away from God. Some people will say, "Nope, Jesus is not for me." And we pray for those people, and we hope that they'll have a change of heart. But God the Father loves everyone, and he wants everyone to be saved. We see that through the calling of Philip here. But on the flip side to this, let me also share with you some other things. Philip was also looking for Jesus. Philip had a seeking heart. He knew what the Old Testament said. He understood what Moses wrote about, that there would be this coming Messiah. He understood what the prophets are trying to say, that there's this coming Messiah that would come and save the world. And so they were on guard for this. They were watching for this. And Philip's heart was seeking this Messiah. Philip was a Jew as well. And so he knew the law. He knew the Torah and the Scriptures, the first five books of the Bible. But here's a question for you this morning. Do you have a seeking heart in your life? Do you pursue Jesus in the things that you do and as you live life here on earth? Philip, not only being called by God, but he sought after God in his life. He wanted to know about who this Messiah was, what he was capable of. He wanted to know more about who Jesus was in his life, and he sought after the Messiah. Now, more than likely, Philip would have been on the banks. He would have been listening to John the Baptist as well speak about this coming Messiah. He would have known about it. And so my question for you today, do you seek God with all your heart? There are many of us today that are not engaged in this effort. Now, you're here in church and stuff like that, and I could probably say to you, you know, do you have room for improvement in seeking God? And we could all answer, yes, we do. We're at different places on our faith journey. We're at different levels of how close we are to God right now in our lives. We're probably scattered all over, and that's okay. That's all right. But the trend that you should be in is that every day you live your life, you should gradually be getting closer and closer to the Lord. You should be getting to know God in a way more intimate every day that you live upon this earth. That should be your goal. That would, to me, is a seeking heart. That's what Philip had. We learned that from him this morning. That's a lesson for us as we sit here this morning. We hear from the Word of God as well. Let me also talk to you about Philip. He was a man who was on fire. He had the heart of a personal evangelist. Now, Philip found Nathanael. They were good friends. And he told them this: "We found the one Moses has been talking about in the law, and about whom the prophets talked about, Jesus of Nazareth." And he asked Nathanael, "Come and see for yourself. See who this person is." Philip went and found Nathanael. Nathanael was a close friend. Some of the best people that you get the opportunity to evangelize in your life might be some of your closest friends. They hang out with you. They do things with you. Great opportunity to evangelize. This is who Philip would have evangelized. His close friends. He called them into the circle and says, "You need to check this guy out. He's for real." Think about your circle of friends. Think about your circle of influence, those you hang out with in your life. Do you have conversations with them about your faith and about who Jesus is? Who are you evangelizing to in your life? The best answer you can give somebody is come and see. Come and see what I've experienced. Come and see what Jesus has done in my life. And share those things. Talk about Jesus' goodness. Talk about Jesus, his blessings that he's placed in your life with others around you. Think about your family. Think about your friends. And even more importantly this morning, I'm going to charge you with this. Evangelism should start in your home. Teaching your children the ways of God. Teaching them to pray, teaching them to read Scripture, getting them to church should start in your home. So parents out there of young children, you're in this process right now. I just want to encourage you, keep on doing what you're doing. You're laying that foundation that they'll build on when they leave your nest. They'll know who God is. They'll know what's right and wrong, especially in a world today that is all messed up. They'll have that foundation. Philip had this kind of an attitude as he went out and he lived his life. Now also, I need to tell you that Philip made some mistakes. We've learned that these guys are not perfect. Philip had his own share of mistakes. Philip never had it figured out. He didn't even come close sometimes. You might find that hard to believe that why would God call or Jesus call somebody that would be this far out and would not get a lot about what he talked about. But listen to this. In the feeding of the 5,000, we see Jesus test Philip. Jesus wanted to know how Philip would respond to the ministry situation that he'd put himself in. What was he capable of? How would he respond? What would he do in the situation that Jesus laid out before him? Now, Philip, you need to understand, was probably the administrator of these group of disciples. He was the guy that was probably in charge of the logistics. Now, remember when I said when they traveled in this large group, usually two of them would go out ahead a day or two. They'd make arrangements in these small towns. They'd let people know, hey, you've got about maybe 75 to 100 people that are coming. They're going to stay here tomorrow night. We need food. We need shelter for them to sleep on, so on and so on. Philip was probably this person that went ahead, made arrangement, set things up, paid for things. He would have been the business person of it as well. He was good at calculating things. He knew the numbers. He knew what stuff cost. He was good at that side of it. Remember I said he's a practical thinker, a concrete thinker in his life. And so we get to the feeding of the 5,000. The disciples are there, and Jesus is standing there with them, and this large crowd of 10,000 plus people is coming at them. And it's beginning to be towards evening. The sun is starting to set. And Jesus looked over this great crowd coming. He said to Philip specifically, "Where shall we buy bread for all these people to eat?" They didn't have a 7-Eleven down in the corner. What a question, huh? He lays that on Philip's lap and said, "Philip, what are you going to do about this?" And Jesus wanted to know what Philip's answer was. "Philip, what are you going to do in this ministry situation? You've got 10,000 people. It's almost evening. They've probably been traveling all day. They're tired. They're thirsty. They're hungry. What are you going to do about it, Philip?" And you can about imagine Philip being the business guy. He's looking at this crowd, 10,000 people. "We need this much bread. We need da-da-da. This is going to take this much money." And his response to Jesus is, "Jesus, there's no way this is going to work." That's what Philip says. "You need to send them back home or send them into the villages because this is not going to work, Jesus." That was his answer. Little did Philip know that he was being set up by Jesus to be tested about his faith. "Philip, do you know what I'm made of? Do you know what I'm capable of?" That's probably what's rolling through Jesus' mind with Philip when he answered him. And Philip said, "There's no way." He was a person that always would say, "There's no way for us to do this. It's not possible." You see, he lapsed into materialistic thinking. Often, when we see things in front of us that we don't understand, we don't think that'll ever happen, you know, we need a miracle from Jesus for this to be pulled off, we go to materialistic thinking, don't we? We kind of lose our faith a little bit, and they're thinking, "There's no way this is going to happen," and we cut Jesus off, don't we, in our faith. We don't think that Jesus could produce things in our life, much like Philip had in his life of the feeding of that large crowd. Common sense says this will never happen. You know, common sense clouded Philip's mind quite often to the opportunity that was before them. You know, Philip should have been thinking, "There are 10,000 people here at Jesus' feet. What an opportunity for people to be saved that could go out into the world. We'll figure out how to feed these people." You know, he'd been following Jesus for quite some time. He's seen the miracles. He's seen what he could do. He should have been thinking, "Jesus, we'll gather them. You feed them. I know what you're capable of." Daddy's thinking materialistic. "We don't have enough bread. There's no 7-Eleven down the street. What are we going to do? Send them home." You picture yourself in that story? You see, so often we forget about the limitless supernatural power of Jesus Christ in this world today. We get consumed with the common sense ideas that we are so used to of living with from day to day to day, that we forget about the power of Jesus Christ in our lives and the ability that he has to change things through a prayer. I believe that you're sitting in one of those situations right now. That God has the ability to change things and do great things through prayer. I've been with you now for a little over 8 years. And I remember stepping into this church, and a lot of you have been praying for quite a few years that God change our church, bring people to our church, make things happen, may we grow, and da-da-da-da. Those prayers have been prayed upon since the 90s. Is God faithful? Turn around and look. It used to be that I'd come here on a Sunday morning when I first started, and the pews would only be halfway to the back. And now we sit on a Sunday morning and we're three-quarters of the way to the front in the summertime. It never used to be that way. You see, God is at work, and sometimes it takes a while, and you need to look back and say, wow, look what God has done in our lives. Look at the blessings and how he's answered the prayers that we've been praying. Now, it's not exactly how maybe you prayed for it, and it maybe didn't look nothing how you thought it was going to look. But this is how God saw it was going to look. It's exactly how he saw it was going to look. He knew exactly who was going to be sitting here this morning and who would be a part of this congregation and so on and so on. It's no surprise to him. That's the goodness of God. And often we doubt the limitless, powerful presence of Jesus Christ in our lives, like Philip did. You know, we learn about Thomas the doubter. Philip was a doubter too. You know, he just like, there's no way this stuff's going to work. That's impractical to feed 10,000 people with a couple fish and some loaves of bread. But look what Jesus did. Look at the lives that were changed on that day when Jesus fed all those people and they seen who Jesus of Nazareth, what good can come from Nazareth? That's what Nathanael thought. What good can come from Nazareth? We must always remember that we are engaged in the greatest work of all time with Jesus Christ. Every day. You know, Jesus wanted Philip to understand that. Jesus wants us to understand that all things are possible with Christ. Now, you might have some big ideas and great plans, and they might not quite match what Jesus is wanting to do with you or what God's will is for your life. So it might look different, and it might take a few twists and turns as you go through your life because God wants what's best for you. Sometimes we don't always see that, you know, what's best for me when a loved one dies. But trust God, because he knows what's best. You know, Philip, the thing about Philip was, too, that a strong trait that I just enjoyed about him, he was not a quitter. He never quit. He made mistakes. He doubted what Jesus could do, but he never quit following him. Remember the little floss and the pick that I had up here this morning? The one that I found out on the street that's been laying there for who knows how long? Sometimes we kind of feel that way, don't we? A little beat up, stained, not quite perfect. But we need to remember the work of Jesus Christ in our lives. He's in the business of renewing us, our souls, and refreshing us, and making us white as snow. We need to remember that as we go through life and we get beat up and maybe we doubt or we make mistakes in our lives. You know, this is a true measure of a person's faith. And you get a little beat up and you get a little stained. That you and I don't quit. That we don't quit. You know, this Philip, he was skeptical. He overanalyzed everything. He was reluctant. He was unsure. He couldn't get the big picture. And yet Jesus said to Philip, follow me. I want you. In all your messed up ways, I want you to be on my team. You know, I can about imagine, you remember in high school when you get in two lines and then you get two captains in gym class and then everybody would pick somebody? Philip would be the last guy to be picked. That's what he would have been like. And Jesus says, you come be on my team. I want you here to follow me. That had to feel pretty good to Philip. You know, and Philip brought many people to Christ through his preaching. He was filled with the Holy Spirit at Pentecost in the book of Acts. He went out and he preached the goodness of Jesus Christ to those. Many people were brought to salvation through his preaching and through his teaching. Sadly, Philip was stoned to death in Hierapolis. Don't know exactly when. The Bible's unsure about that. Shortly after, James was also crucified and taken from his life. Philip was stoned to death for his ministry. But this is what Jesus says to you and I this morning. With our inabilities and our messed up lives, I want you to come and follow me. And all of God's people said,